What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Apollo Limited and Sunday Morning Feeling, you are on 98.5 Weekdays with Mike. It's nice to be with you on this Wednesday morning, and it is a very good morning, and welcome to on the line this morning, regular guest Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Mike.
Nice to talk to you again. You don't take a break over the school holidays, do you?
Not really. My kids are at that age now where, you know, one big holiday for them and always works for me.
I can definitely relate, Simon. It is good to talk to you today. Now, we're going to be chatting about choosing the right insurance policies. Now, I'm assuming when we talk about insurance policies, this is pretty well across the board no matter what you're insuring, right?
Yeah, look, the big issues I want to touch on, I think, yeah, we can absolutely apply to everything from car insurance to home and contents through to life insurance.
Okay.
There are some specific differences, but we'll touch on those as we go.
All right. Now, to kick this off, first question, would most people, do you think, would shop around, if they do shop around, would most people select an insurance policy or a company but purely based on price alone, premium?
This is probably problem number one, and the answer is, it would appear, yes. And look, fair cop, at least people are shopping around. That is a good thing. There are massive differences in premiums for different situations. No one policy is the same as the next. But the problem with that is that prices, to be frank, the least important issue if a claim has to be made. Quality of the policy, the quality of the insurer, the different terms in the policy are catching people out at a rate of knots. And that's why I think it's great that we're talking about this today. It might sound like a really dry topic, but as I think I commented to you earlier, when you're not back on a claim and there's a lot of money at stake, it's no longer dry. It gets very, very exciting for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. So price is obviously a big one. Now, a lot of people would use an insurance broker. I know a lot of companies do use an insurance broker. Can you just touch on what are the benefits of using an actual broker for your insurance?
I'm going to put that the other way around, and I'm going to say, why wouldn't you use an insurance broker? And so I guess today I'm speaking, yes, as a lawyer, and I have discussed prep for this particular topic with our litigation team, but also having owned businesses now for 20-plus years and in a variety of scenarios, I have to say that a broker, first of all, saves you a lot of time. But most importantly for me, they are a bit of an extra level of insurance in themselves, because when you rely on them to shop around for you and to make sure that they're selecting policies not just based on price, but on a particularly accurate fit, your situation, whether that's your driving record, whether that's your health, and you know, all other issues, they are kind of putting the hand up and saying, look, we have to take some legal responsibility here for having recommended these policies and these insurers. And from experience, I can tell you that is exceptionally useful when a claim needs to be made, because they go into bat for you with the insurance company. You don't need to do that direct. So they effectively, you're bringing in an expert to choose your insurance for you, someone who lives and works in this whole field every moment of every day, and you're getting some extra insurance, in effect, along the way, but without paying very much more. There's a small brokerage fee per policy. To me, it has always been worth its weight in gold.
Which is insurance in itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Simon, yeah, I was just thinking about, even we're quite happily to use a mortgage broker to sort out our mortgages, but same principally with an insurance broker as well. Simon, we'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. I'll put you on hold there. We'll come back and chat some more with Simon Creek. We're talking about insurance policies. How do you select them? Do you pick them purely on price? Well, if it's purely on price, that may not be the best way to go. We'll chat some more after this one. You are on 98.5. 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike, talking to my regular guest Simon Creek this morning. Simon, on insurance, I find it quite interesting, actually, regarding selecting the appropriate insurance policy. And we've got a few of them, even if you think about, you know, if you've got a couple of cars, house, health. We've got a list of insurance policies that we need individually, let alone for our company. How do you compare apples with apples reading through the fine print when you're out there trying to figure out what is the best insurance policy to get?
Look, as a lawyer and as a business owner, I could spend hours on this and often have to with different clients because we assume that it's just a question of, you know, quickly getting the cheapest insurance policies you can and that's that. The reason that couldn't be further from the truth, first of all, revolves around this duty of disclosure that we all have to the insurance company. And the fine print of each policy deals with that quite differently. Yes, the overall duty to make sure that you have disclosed everything relevant to risk, your risk, the risk of insuring you, that's common across all insurance companies and all insurance. But can I say that this is where the rubber hits the road in the moment you need to claim. Insurance companies, and look, okay, maybe I'm a little biased as a lawyer, I tend to see the worst in them, but I have to say the starting point we should all assume they have is we don't want to pay out. So always start there and read the fine print with that in mind. And when you get the disclosure, realise that even with vehicle insurance, not disclosing a speeding fine could give an insurance company an opportunity to argue that they shouldn't pay out if you have an accident. That's a big one. Life insurance, it becomes even more complex. If you haven't disclosed your entire medical file, all of the doctors that you've gone to see over the last decade, for example, and something comes up, they can use that as a lack of disclosure, a reason not to pay out, or at least try to. And when we say fine print, you've got to look at these really, really cheap, you know, TV advertised insurance companies that seem to promise the world. They tell you that you can just log in, takes 5 minutes, and you'll be insured on the spot. What they're not telling you, unless you look really carefully, is that they're not telling you you don't need to provide full disclosure. They're just not asking for it right there and then. That responsibility is still yours. They're just not bringing it to your attention. And I have to say, the cynical lawyer in me believes that there's reasons for that, and it all comes apparent when you want to claim.
Well, it gets back to claiming when you want to claim. Simon, how often would you suggest reviewing? I mean, they generally would come up annually. Would you let them go for a couple of years, or do you review your insurance policies literally? It's like an annual thing, 12-month thing.
In the business, so many different types of policies and so many of them. Again, the advantage of a broker. They have a duty to review the whole lot every year and to shop around on your behalf for what might be a better deal that year. Insurers all have different costs each year, so their premiums can go up and down each year. Your risk might change each year, and you know, with that added disclosure, the broker might need to shop around for a better policy in 2022 than was best for you in 2021. So ideally, you know, all of this needs reviewing every year. When it comes down to cars and home contents for the average person, though, as long as you put in the time and effort up front and you're with a reputable provider and you have kept that disclosure up to date, then I think you're going to be okay for, you know, 2 or 3 years at a time. But again, have to say, I don't know why more people don't use brokers because they'll do all of that for you.
Good point. Simon, you okay to hang on there? We'll come back and chat some more if that's okay.
For sure.
And my guest on the line this morning is regular guest Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group. And we're talking about insurance policies this morning. Back after this one. On 98.5 Weekdays with Mike, Simon Creek, regular guest, is on the line with me. We've been talking about insurance policies today. Now, Simon, you mentioned using a broker a couple of times today. What's the difference between using a broker and then going online and using a comparison site that does that work for you? What are your thoughts on that?
Look, I'm a bit sceptical as to the independence of these sites. And, you know, even if they aren't owned by insurance companies themselves that skew the advice, you remove the transparency and clarity that you have with an actual broker, a person who's signed up to do the job of finding you the best different policies. I just see it as a no-brainer to use a broker, you know, except in the very simplest of situations. The insurance comparison sites, I call them a starting point, and that's about it. There are so many more things to look at when choosing an insurance company.
So just on those sites, so I'm assuming that they don't cover every possible insurance company. They only would have a select few. Would that be right?
That's right. And it's the same with mortgage comparison sites, same sort of thing. And look, if it were to cover, there are a couple that I think come quite close to getting everything in there. But we're talking then hundreds and hundreds of policies for different scenarios. Mm. And there's, you know, very little information as to how often any of that's updated. So I put the reliability of those sites down around 2 out of 10. That's about as much as I would use them.
Okay. And just finally to finish off today, and I know you've touched on a few of these, but what are the things that we should look for when choosing an insurance company? And that could be for health, car, house and contents, whatever.
Look, I wish we could spend another hour on this. It's such a big deal. It sounds, as I said at the beginning, it can be such a dry topic, insurance. I mean, yeah. Who wants to talk about insurance? But it's so important today. Don't be flattered by the flashy advertising and, you know, the amount of TV ads, for example, or the catchy new, quite cool name. That's a real trap, particularly for young insurance buyers. Try and find out from the broker or the company itself what the company's claim to settlement ratio is. What is their process? And where do they start in assessing a claim? And how well known are they for either knocking them back, you know, every time until you fight, or making it easy? If you're discussing a policy in person with others who have made claims, that's always useful because, you know, they'll tell you what the quality of service was. Probably very, very importantly, and something no one tends to be told much about, is who underwrites that particular company. Does it have sufficient assets to pay out major claims? Particularly, for example, if, let's say, you know, a cyclone tore through Perth and you were with a company that was massively exposed to, you know, home construction, would they be able to pay out the hundreds of millions of dollars involved, or are they actually quite a small player with a limited capital base? So they're the big ones, but I just want to throw into the mix kind of a summary comment, if I can, Mike, because where we as lawyers get the most concerned is probably, as I've touched on, that issue of disclosure and how the different insurance companies treat it, and particularly when it comes to health. When you have been, you know, healthy for most of your life, but if you hit your, you know, let's say 50s, 60s, 70s, well, actually 70s not so much, 50s, 60s, and things perhaps need doing and you need extra advice, you might not think to update your long-term insurer with that. And it is critical because it's like statistically, it's in those years or the years after that you're likely to need to make claim. And they are very quick to say, well, it didn't update us. And if we'd known that you had, for example, I don't know, had to go into hospital to have a kidney transplant or something much less important than that, we wouldn't have kept insuring you. And that's a major, major issue. That's where we see the issues, I guess, develop as lawyers, because we then act for those people to fight the insurer to pay out, because they have an overriding duty of good faith, and that's a pretty broad and quite heavy responsibility on them. Mm-hmm. But most people don't know what that means. Why would you? And again, I guess at the end of the day, it's why using a broker or even you know, we get a lot of calls from long-term clients saying, look, you know, what experience have you guys had with this major insurer in my situation? Should I go with them or not? Like, that type of research is just so important because insurance companies are so different. Their policies are so different, but you will not be told that when they're advertising.
Simon, really appreciate you coming on and talking about the exciting topic of insurance today.
We did our best to make it exciting, we didn't did. We, mate?
I was interested. Simon, really appreciate your time today. We'll catch up next week, shall we?
I'll look forward to it.
My guest on the line this morning has been Simon Creek from HHG League Group talking about some tips regarding insurance. You are on at 98.5 and this is Weekdays with Mike.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.